D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. DHC know what's popping in the field. These boys bring it.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live here at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, as usual, to my left, there's nobody to my right today, but to my left, as usual, no, there's usually someone there, but Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero, I'm your host, and for the next hour, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do the New Orleans Saints BS and Beer style. Tomas, welcome in, man.
That was good, Dave.
So much to talk about, man.
Oh, my Lord, yes.
So, I got to tell you about my new grading
scale. Have 1 hour?
Yeah, we only have an hour. We have Chris Landry
on. I talk fast, Dan. Come on, hurry up.
I know, we got to talk really fast today. Now, we got to keep it statistically speaking. They say people lose interest. I have a hard time believing they're going to lose interest in us. What do you think?
No, not today.
Like a woman, though, they always seem to lose interest after a while.
Not for me.
No?
Might be your problem.
It's sad news. No Heath today. He's under the weather.
Yep.
You know,
come on, brother, get better.
Like every time. No, he got nothing. No, yeah. I miss Heath when he's not here. He brings the funny stuff.
Especially during
him.
A break, and then he won't say what he's
Yeah, yeah.
He
just the thing is, if we did a show, what I'm gonna start doing is I'm just
outtakes.
Gonna
yeah, outtake
that,
show.
That or what I'll do is I'll push stop and then let him. But when I push stop, that's what he thinks. It's actually gonna be hitting record.
Oh, there you go.
And then he'll be just starting and doing his rant, and it's hilarious. I mean, it's hilarious. You just got to get him going. You got to crank that little crank in his back. Anyway, so man, we have our first good, bad, and ugly. The Saints played the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Mixed results. You know, it's I'm not too worried about the end score, and I know that the Saints haven't won a preseason game in over 2 years. And I don't know the exact number, but it's somewhere around 10. Is it 10 or 11?
10.
10 in a row.
That's 10
in a row. 10 in a row. I could care less. I could care less about – no, it's – I couldn't care less. For those of you out there
– I could not care less.
I could not care less.
There you go.
At the end of the day, you don't have Drew Brees.
I could care less. Well,
right,
okay,
then that means
go
you
ahead.
Could care less then. So thank you for clarifying
that. No problem.
But you have Drew Brees right off the bat. Drew Brees not on the field. You are not going to get an accurate idea of what your team's capable of without an all-world quarterback on the field. So correct. I'm not concerned about it. But one of the things that I remember it's some of the guys didn't play as long. We had some guys play longer than I expected.
That was one guy in particular played a lot.
And those guys, some guys produced, and they came up big. I mean, guys we weren't expecting, and that's what we need. Yep. We have a bunch of hotline calls. Guys, thank you so much for the hotline calls. 701-901-1295. That's the graffiti hotline. You call, you leave a message.
I didn't have to queue you up for it.
Oh,
okay.
Man, I'm telling you.
And what's our email address?
Email address, bsandbeer at iCloud.com. Dang it. All right. We have some huge news about our show.
Yes, we do.
I'm not breaking it.
Oh.
Wait, hold up.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
All right. I'm not breaking the news. I have the news that I'm not going to break. So anyway, but if you tune in next week, we are going to break out some news about our show. That's pretty big stuff. Maybe not for you guys, but for us, it's a pretty big deal.
It might be.
Let's
not get too enthusiastic.
We're spreading the love.
You know, he's got that big cheesy smile on his face right now, but, you know, we just have to – patience is a virtue.
But we already got word. Well, but we just want to wait for confirmation.
Greece
of the
is the word.
Greece is the word. All right.
All right.
So we got big news that we're not breaking. So it's matter of fact, Leo from my BS and Beer UK show suggests that we turn it to the BS and Beer Booze Desk instead of the BS and Beer News Desk, and that might be more appropriate.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, so anyway, what else? So we have, we mentioned that we're going to do who's hot and who's not. We're going to do our good, bad, and ugly, and we have a bunch of players, very encouraging, returning from injury. So that's going to be something that's going to be big because now we're going to start seeing some of those guys in actual gameplay. We're going to know what they have on them. We're going to do our weekly roster breakdown. Mm-hmm. Who's on, who's off.
Yep.
Changes every week, right?
Yeah, every week.
Not really, but
every day.
Every minute, every there piece of news. Fans are hanging on to it to find out whether or not.
And if they can find out what jersey number they're going to have this week.
Oh, yeah, that changed.
Because that was bizarre. Was that not,
okay, it wasn't just me.
No.
You know what? Send me a tweet if you were just as bad trying to figure out all these numbers. I'm like, who is that
guy?
Well,
I apologize because I was like, man, usually I have all the numbers memorized for the first preseason game. And you guys are saying, well, who's that? And I'm like, we don't have a 70. I don't know who 70 is. And then we start. Well, I still apologize because usually I have them all memorized. But there were numbers that were never on anybody's roster anywhere. So it's like, who's that?
Well, yeah, not only did we not know who the number was, we pull up the NewOrleansSaints.com.
Yeah.
And they didn't have some of those numbers registered, you know, so are listed. Yeah. So it was a little bit confusing. But anyway, you can tweet me because I'm a big tweeter now.
Ooh.
Yeah, oh, man, I'm telling you, I got people following me. I'm chatting. And I got guys asking questions.
Man, I'm sorry. I started you on this path. Yeah,
man, I'm addicted. I'm on it constantly now.
I know.
So,
I get up in the morning, I'm like, Dave's already on it.
Saints BS. So you get on there. If you have a minute, follow
me.
So
what is your Twitter handle again?
Saints BS.
Saints BS.
Yeah, and yours, sir?
I'm BS and Beer Hoodat.
Hoodat.
That's right.
And Heath Elson-san, don't even try it.
Just look on our list. You'll see us.
Yeah, and then look up Heath, and then you'll find it, and you can just do it vicariously through him. So anyway, let's get this show started.
Let's go.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, so let's do some good, bad, and the ugly. And I think we're going to do it offense and defense. And then obviously, if I'm going to hold true to my word, I think we got to do a special teams too. So let's start it off.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for good and the bad and the ugly.
All right, Rye. Thank you for that awesome introduction.
Hadn't heard that in a while.
Yeah, no, we're bringing it back. It's a whole different format when we get into the regular season. But here we go. Offensively, you want to go first, Tomas?
Yeah, whatever you want. I'll go first. That's fine.
Okay, so go first and give us some thoughts on what you thought was the good. Then you can – maybe I'll do the good, too, and then we'll go to the bad and ugly.
All right,
offensively
good.
Only.
Offense only. The good. I think we have no problem whatsoever at running back this year. That's the good.
Yep.
I think that we didn't have to see Ingram and Peterson. We know what they can do. But I was happy to see Kamara and Lasko. I think both of them did really good work. You know, Cadet was in there, you know, this new kid, Victor, I don't see them making the team. So, for me, the high point on offense, I would say, first high point, was the running back situation. I think we're solid at running back. God willing, no injuries. We're solid at running back. That's my first high point. My second high point on offense was the play of Tommy Lee Lewis.
Mm.
On my original roster, which now has changed, but my original roster, I didn't have Tommy Lee making it. But he stepped up big time. I really think that he showed that he fits now.
Mm-hmm.
And I did hear Sean Payton give an interview saying that now he understands a lot better what his role is when he's playing.
Sure.
He's not overwhelmed. He knows all the tree routes. He knows all, the entire passing wide receiver tree. So, you know, it could be because I didn't see anything from Lampman, Williams Lambert, all these other guys. And, of course, the young man from LSU got ding-donged in the play, you know, because of a bad pass. But in any case, that might be my two high points. All right, so that's my two goods.
Okay. Let's see. Good. You know, I think I'm going to be wasting time if I just repeat what you said, but you got to be excited about Lasko and Kamara. And I think that they're the future of the Saints.
Yep.
You know, Lasko was a guy that I kind of picked as my preseason kind of keep an eye on him.
I like him.
He's showed explosiveness, toughness. Now, having said that, okay, well, I'm going to get ahead of myself, so I got to stay on the good. I agree with Lewis. You know, we have a hotline call that kind of talks about this, so I got to be careful. I don't want to say too much.
All right, well, we'll get to it.
Okay, so
tonight, go to the bad, then.
So the bad.
We go first on bad.
One bad. Why did Daniels come out of the game so early? It's not like he's so seasoned.
Are we drinking?
He should have.
Huh? Are we drinking if you put the S on?
You got me. Why is Daniel coming out of the game so early? Like, I feel like the offense didn't really have a chance to really show what they can do.
Because he's going to make the team.
I get it.
The other two guys are not going to make the team.
Yeah, I agree. But then the same question. Let him get some work. Let him get some experience. Let him get some.
Chase doesn't need experience. Remember how long he was already in the Sean Payton offensive system.
Let the man get some work. He hasn't played a regular season.
Well,
I showed the snaps, and I can't remember what they were. I mean, I was amazed how few snaps he has as a starter. I thought that he went, and I know a couple of teams want to bring him in as a starter, and when it's all said and done, he didn't play that much. So, I mean, my point is this. If you're going to really see what a wide receiver can do, don't you need a guy that can get him the ball? You know, if you're gonna see how your offensive line,
yes, that's true. But at the same time, as a team, you want to know. I don't believe we're gonna carry more than two quarterbacks, but I believe that they're making sure. Hey, you know, we're not gonna carry a third guy, and they have to have tape on in every situation.
So your argument is, hey, let's find out if these guys are worth keeping around.
Exactly.
Okay, you know what?
Exactly.
That's a good point. And listen, one of the things, and I said earlier that I'm not worried about the result of the game.
Right.
Teams literally put players in position to fail. They literally say, I know this guy is hypothetically a zone corner. Lock him up man-to-man just to see what he can do.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Or conversely, or the opposite. Or you know what? This guy's not good in the slot. He's more of an outside receiver. Yeah. So you know what? Let's make him do things. And you never know. The guy might surprise you. You might find out he is more capable than you thought. You got to find out what these people can do. You can't put everyone in a position to succeed and never find out what they're not good at. Because come the season,
then you want to put them in a position.
You want to put them in a position to be successful. Right. But, hey, all of a sudden one guy gets injured.
You need to know if that other guy can
replace him or you need to go with this guy.
Absolutely.
So sometimes putting them in a position to fail to find out what they're capable of is important. Yeah. So.
All right. So now you're bad.
The bads. Another bad. The drop from Ginn. Now that could be an ugly, but really, now we have a hotline call, and they're asking, is Ginn in trouble with the way that Lewis played?
Okay.
We'll
address that.
We'll address that here in a little bit.
All right. So Ginn was a bad for you.
And you could call it ugly because you know that's a touchdown he dropped. But okay. So I'm gonna call it a bad, and then offensive line depth with the second unit I thought was pretty bad and maybe could be my ugly, but I'm going to call it a bad.
So, okay.
Your turn, sir.
Well, I'm going to say my bad is going to be the way that our centers, no matter who was in there, was floating that ball back there. You know, I had a big article recently about how Kelamente now feels a lot better playing center than he does any other position, and yet I'm looking at these snaps, and I'm seeing these floaters going back there. Now, we know that since the game, atypical, Drew Brees blew up, pulled his helmet off, slammed it to the turf at a practice because the snaps are still not in the right place. So, to me, I'm going to say the bad was the play at center. Ugly? Well, I think there's enough ugly to go around, but I'm probably going to say for ugly, the inability of Grayson to read defenses, because he has talent. There's no doubt when he throws a pretty pass, you know, he's got arm strength. He's got all the things you want, But that man cannot read a defense. I mean, he makes Bobby Hebert look like a guy who could read every defense in the
book.
Come
on, don't pick on the kid.
I love Bobby, don't get me wrong, but, you know.
You know, I listen, the Grayson thing, there was one play in particular, and it drove me nuts, and I think it was the play you mentioned. You have a receiver who's settling in between two linebackers. He's hooking in between two, find a soft spot, and Grayson throws the ball and forces him and leads him into a defender. Not only did it cost us a first down, but it got the guy hurt. And I think it was Darrell, and got him hurt. And it's just those kind of things just drive me crazy because it's simple. It's obviously a zone defense. The receiver sits down in front of the two linebackers, throw him the ball, he catches it, it's first down. But no, he leads him to the right, forces him to continue running into a linebacker. Not only is it incomplete, gets the guy hurt, and it's just the whole game. And then all of a sudden when you start getting frustrated with him and then he throws a nice pass to Lewis that Lewis reaches out, makes
but that's
amazing.
The only place the ball could have gone. It was right on money.
You know, but listen, even bad players are going to make good plays. So it's like, you know, so my point is that one play
also,
doesn't overcome.
Even good players make bad plays.
Absolutely. So it works both ways. My point is that, to me, that play – and a couple of other plays doesn't overcome overcome so many just like basic plays that he blows or doesn't play well and puts the team in a bad position. So it's like, and listen, this is coming from a guy that I'm hanging on. I've been hanging on for Grayson, and I'm like, we gave up a third round draft pick. I want to see the guy be successful. And after this past week, I've just kind of said, you know, listen, I don't give up on anybody because you never know who's going to come back and surprise you. But at the end of the day, I no longer feel like there's a real opportunity there. I don't feel that way.
And we're very fortunate in that Chase Daniel is available and being paid by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
So we're getting him, you know, at a huge discount. Which then is all the more reason why I believe we will not carry a third or a fourth or a fifth or a sixth quarterback. I mean,
you cut
your losses. I mean, look, we had the make-believe Cajun. What was his name? Baptiste.
Stanley Jean-Baptiste.
We gave a second round for him.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Why you got to bring that up?
And even worse than that, okay, even though I saw some battle about this on the internet, Tampa Bay cut their second round kicker from last year.
Arguello, whatever his name was. Yeah, it makes you realize it's not just the Saints. When you see these bad picks, man, the draft is amazingly hard crapshoot. And although I'll tell you what, this year seems
they've always said that the first 10 are for sure. The next 10 are quite possible. After that, it's a crapshoot. So you're talking about the first 20 in the first round as being
but
pretty sure
them,
they're going to make.
Even them, and I don't have the statistics in front of me.
Well, we've had a bunch of busts.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just us. Sometimes they do the thing in, like, you know, like the dog days of summer. It's July, and you listening to your, you know, NFL radio on Sirius or whatever, and then they'll start talking about, hey, let's do a review of a draft 3 years ago. And you'd be amazed how many guys aren't even in the league anymore.
Yeah, sure.
3 years later, first-round draft pick.
Sure.
So. Anyway, so, okay.
All right, so that's the offense.
Let's
go to defense.
Move on to the defense.
You want me to start first
with
the good?
Yeah, I want you to start first.
All right, I'm going to say with the good. And, you know, it's up to me, I guess. I'm going to say the good is the guy that I really am looking to break in and start for the season opener, and that's Anzalone. I think that he was all over the field. He really knew where he had to be on that one play that they thought at first that the guy dropped the ball, and then when they showed the replay, they showed he just got his hand in there. I mean, that guy was balling, I thought, for the whole game then when he played. So I'm going to say the good on defense, Anzalone. He stood out to me. So, good.
Okay. Good, I thought, okay, it's a mixed
bag.
Did
I take you? Oh, go ahead.
No, it's a mixed bag. I was really impressed with Kakaha. But then the commentators made a point, and they basically said that Irvin, who was the left tackle, who was a first-round draft pick, by the way, had never played. He's a bust.
Yeah.
He'd never played left tackle before.
Yeah.
So they threw him out there. So it takes a little bit of the shine off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it listen,
not
I don't
much,
care.
Though.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's Kakaha abused him. So if he'd have went in there and just did okay, then you'd say, oh. But if you're a bad player and you get abused, that's
you
what
good like
players.
You mean like Orchard on Barnes? But go ahead.
No, yeah. And Barnes is one of my uglies. So,
yeah.
I mean, and here's the thing. I don't have time in my life to do the study, film study on all these guys.
No, I don't either.
Barnes was one of them. I did it, and I was talking to Craig on Twitter, and he asked me how I said, ew, and he said, oh, well, and then we started getting into this thing, and it was, you have to see, it was kind of funny, and he's like, well, sometimes you got some pew and some, but, you know, that's like, a lot of guys, and so we went into our own grading scale just on,
I see.
So, anyway, Barnes was, I my finger on my nose.
Him,
yeah, so, yeah. Okay.
No, in defense. So, Anthony, King Kahai, your throw's good. So, now, what's your bad?
Bad? Man, I'd have to say Eric Harris, and then, but really bad Swan. And he's another guy that I had high hopes for. But listen, he didn't just get, everybody gets beat sometimes. On that particular play, or it may have been the deep ball he gave up earlier. I mean, his feet were, it was terrible. His footwork was terrible. Like, by now he should have those basic things ready to go. But he doesn't. And I don't see him, although you guys gave me a hard time, and I went back and pulled up my last roster, and I didn't have him making the team before. Mm-hmm. But the reason I didn't have him making the team is because I just felt like there were better players ahead of him. Mm-hmm. Now I think he's not going to make
like Crawley?
Crawley played well.
Oh, okay.
Crawley played well. And listen, I gave him a hard time, and I know I gave him a lot of hard time last year, and you did. That was your boy.
That's my boy. Still
that's
my boy.
That's still your boy. And he looks to be improving. Yeah. But listen, let's not say he didn't take us some beat. He did some good stuff, but he had some problems too.
Well, but he's not my bad or my ugly.
But and that's good. That means he played solid.
Yeah, that's correct.
He played solid ball. He's going to give
that's
up
correct.
Plays. He's going to make plays. So I can live with that. Last year, the difference simply was he was in position a lot. He just never made a play on the ball.
And I think it's going to be different.
And you know what? Now, as we get into some of the news that's going on, you know, Delvin Bro situation, you got to ask yourself, there's so many different angles on Delvin Bro thing.
Well, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. We're going to take a quick break.
No, I ain't ready for it. You gave your bad?
Oh, you didn't give your bad
yet? I didn't get my bad yet.
Okay. Well, I don't want to leave you out from your bad.
You ain't going to believe what my bad is, though.
Go ahead. Let's
Sheldon Rankins.
He was pretty
because
quiet.
Because like you said, I didn't do a lot of film study on all of these people, but I kind of watched the interior line because I'm really interested to see what's going to happen without Fairley. I didn't see anything from Rankins.
I know,
I'm telling you, it was a rough night
for
Rankins.
I know you're going to think that I'm just being a homer, but he's a guy that has to be played a certain way.
No, I agree.
I think.
But like I said before, you have to know what he can do in other situations.
Right. If you just try to put him in the game and just play nose, he is not very effective because I saw him getting washed out.
Yep.
But
yep.
When game time comes, they're going to use him more like a puzzle piece.
Sure.
Use his quickness, athleticism.
But I'm just
no,
evaluating
I agree
this
with you.
Game.
So, no, and you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
In this game, I thought Rankins was the bad.
maybe what I'm doing right now is just making myself feel better.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe game one they'll use him the way. Because they just had a man up, and he was getting washed out quite a bit.
Well, and then we agree my ugly is Swan.
Swan, yeah. So no, we're on the same
I mean,
page
that was yet. Just nothing.
Okay, so now can I take
now
a break?
Take our break.
All right, hey, we're here at the SEC Pub.
We're back with special teams.
And special teams, too. I forgot. No, I'm glad
we'll come
you,
back with
I'm
that.
Glad, I'm glad you reminded
all
me.
Right.
Hey, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for more BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, we're back. It's me and Tomas today.
Yes, sir.
It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew here live at the SEC Sports Pub, like we are just about every time we record.
How many TVs do we have in here, Dave?
It's too many.
Too many
to look. Listen, all I care about is that one over there by the big table.
That's right.
That's where we watch the
Saints
game.
Saints game.
We got the volume.
We have our own table.
Yeah, and all our crew comes, and it's the place to be to watch the games. We have to talk about special teams.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't have a whole bunch, but what I did see – one thing, Lutz.
Yes.
He kicked a field goal with authority, drilled it right down the middle, and it was so. But on the other hand, he had a shank of biblical proportions on a kickoff, drove it out of bounds. It wasn't even close. I mean,
it was like on a 30-yard line.
And you're just like, how does that happen? Yeah. And it's just one of those things where we got to clean that up. Yeah. We like to see the kick with authority, confidence.
Well, remember, I picked him as my MVP before the game.
Did you?
Yes, I remember. I told you I was going to.
I got to tell you, I don't remember that.
Well, I'm sorry. But I picked them, and then I was upset
but
because
I
they didn't go for the field goal.
Yes, you did. Okay, I take it back. I do remember that now.
Because I was sitting there next to you guys, and I'm saying, hey, we need to bring on the kicker. Yeah.
Right, and I picked Lasco, and then whenever I saw the Camaro come out there, and the Chevrolet Camaro come That's out right. there and start and run well, I'm like, well, there goes my preseason prediction. Yeah. But but it's
so
still intact.
So for you, Lutz on the special
team. Yeah, you know, he's kind of the good and the bad. So yeah.
All right. And I'm going to go with, you know, as we were talking about the other players that can make this team because of their special teams play. I was very impressed with Banjo. Because I didn't have Banjo on my original roster, and now I'm thinking that he might be able to push Harris out because he can play safety. But really, he had some excellent coverage on kickoffs. You know, he was right down there with the gunners, even though he's not a gunner, on punts and kickoffs. And so I think that that's a possibility of an outstanding player. And then, you know, the negative is just like you had said, that out-of-bound kicks by Lutz is, you know.
Well, I tell you what, the Banjo thing, the door is now open.
Yeah.
Because Eric Harris, who was my fifth safety,
yes,
he didn't play very well.
No, he
now,
didn't.
And I like to point this out because I don't like to be the guy who sees one or two plays and thinks that defines a player for the whole
right.
season. I did. He's not one of the guys that I
Me
paid
either.
Close attention to.
Me either.
But they showed him a play in isolation, and it just he did not have the catch-up speed to make a play on that defender.
Yeah. I wasn't watching safeties either.
I'm sorry, I said that defender on that receiver.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. I wasn't watching safety. I actually wasn't watching. On defense, I was watching the middle of the line and the linebackers. That's what I concentrated on defense.
Well, another thing, too, is that, like, you don't have all 22 at this point yet of the season. Because
no,
if you
right.
buy the package that, you know, the NFL, you can get the all 22. And that's what I look at during the season. It's hard to really judge safeties when you don't have access to all 22 and you're looking at just TV feed.
Right.
Because a lot of times you don't see what happened to put them in a position
right.
Where it was. I know we got into a little debate. There was a play up the middle.
And
on
I did go look it up. And
I did too, and I got pictures on my iPad, and I'm still convinced. It was a play where the tight end was before halftime. It was a big play to tight end, and Stephon Anthony was out there, and he – it wasn't even close, but he took a dive at it, and I don't think that was his responsibility. The ball was about 27 yards.
Disagreed. We have to disagree.
We can agree to disagree. Ball was 27 yards downfield, and I just don't think that Stephon Anthony was supposed to be. It didn't look like he had another man that cut in front of him. He kind of peeled off a little bit, then reverse field and went to the tight end down the seam. I think it was more the safety responsibility. But, again,
I only disagree simply from the viewpoint that in other plays, when Anthony was playing the same exact role, he had a deeper drop. On that particular play, he didn't have the same drop as on several other plays that he did. And it's not a question of being in position to actually man up on a guy. It's a question of being in the line of fire so that the quarterback has to think twice. Can I actually get it over the top of the linebacker's
absolutely.
Head? You know? So to me, that's I'm not coming down on Stephon Anthony because he didn't make the play. I'm coming down on him simply because he wasn't in the right position.
Right, and we again agree to disagree. He was in position. He had an underneath man about 15 yards, and he kind of peeled to him or stepped that way, and then changed direction and got himself in a position to at least
Let's make a call on Nolan and find out.
You know what? That's going to be. You have to find out what Coach Nolan thinks about it. So anyway. So
overall grade.
Yeah, overall grade. So offense, I mean, I don't think there's any way that you can give that offense a grade of more than maybe I'm being gracious by saying a C+. I mean, C minus,
I think. See, now, I said C. Overall, I think C because the quarterback play was not inspired.
Right.
The wide receiver play wasn't inspired. The only thing that pulled him up that you could say a C+ was the running game.
Looked nice.
Non-existent.
Early.
Non-existent tight ends. It's like there's really not much to hang your hat on. You know, so
okay, and maybe this is not okay. We're supposed to be giving grades or whatever.
Yeah,
but
so you said C+, and I said C. All right,
and no, I said C-.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I did
say
C+, but I.
Oh, you reverted.
Yeah, I messed up.
Well, so, then you're worse. Okay.
So here's
that.
The thing: is that
there's
so many.
Right,
there were so many backups.
Well, yeah, that's what you had to base it on.
Yeah, I mean, it's still they were the guys in there.
Yeah,
but I'm like,
yeah.
Man, it's like the fact that we did play as well as we did at times with Barnes and whoever they threw in at center at any given time.
The center position
Barnes
was a real problem.
Barnes
for me.
Was really bad. Yeah. It was bad. So, anyway, moving on to
defense. What grade did you give the defense?
You know, I thought the defense played okay, man. I don't know if it's in B territory. I'm going to give them a B-.
B-. See, I gave them a C+.
Okay.
So, you know. So, I thought the defense played better. And again, my C+ was the linebacking play. I thought the linebacking play really pulled the defense up. I thought, as you had said earlier, Kikaha played well.
Yes.
Okafor played well, I thought, too, because I watched him as well. But the interior line didn't do much for me. And Swan really brought that grade down. And he played a lot. It wasn't like he only played a few plays.
Well, once you get deep into the game, and we mentioned this, man, once you get to first preseason game and you get deep into the late third quarter, early fourth, I start wondering why I'm watching the game.
Yeah,
and I turn to you, I say, well, because they're wearing Saints uniforms.
Exactly.
But I'm like, these guys are – I mean, it's just uninspired football. It's just hard to watch. The quarterback play, you know, there were some good things when the fourth guy,
Nasib.
Yeah, Nasib. Well, depend on how him or his brother want to pronounce. He did a couple of positive things. I mean,
he's got a funny throwing action.
He does this thing. His throwing motion is better. Now, having said that, listen, I'm a pitcher. So when I watch this guy throw, every time he cocks back to throw, he looks like he's throwing a deep ball. He dips his back shoulder.
Yeah.
And then he ends up firing a ball 10 yards downfield, and I'm like, man, he looked like he was going deep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He just has –
But he puts that other hand on the ball, and he keeps that other hand. He goes back, he goes through. He starts the motion forward, and that other hand is still on the ball.
It's awkward.
You know?
Yeah, it's
very,
awkward.
Very strange. And personally, from my perspective, neither one of those two quarterbacks read the defenses all that well. I think Nasib had a better game overall, but then again, he's also playing against fifth and sixth stringers. Instead of second and third stringers.
Right.
So, you know, for whatever that counts for. But anyway.
All right.
So now special teams would be the last grade.
I don't know. I'm just going to say C because, you know.
I actually gave him a C+ because I thought the coverage was really good on all those. And I think that Lutz really kicked with authority.
The
only one that was a chunker there was the one out of bounds.
Right. But they did have a couple plays where the kid who's a safety from Michigan State, I can't remember his name, had a couple of nice returns. So it was a little shaky out there on the return game from my perspective.
Oh, Pepper.
Yes. He had the one where
I'm thinking about the Saints. I'm like, who's the Saints team is from Michigan State?
I mean, they made, and I know it's the Browns feed, they made a huge deal out of him fair catching.
That was a mistake.
I mean, he should have returned it, but they're like, he won't make that mistake. He'll get coached up. I'm like, dude, it's a judgment, you know, and I'm like, he made a bad judgment on it, but it's not like he turned the ball over. He just said, hey, I'm going to catch the ball, and, you know, and anyway, I just thought the announcers overreacted to that a bit. So I tell you what, I think it's time to take a hotline call. We got a bunch of them to get to.
Go ahead.
We got to get to them.
Hey, guys, this is Luke in Louisiana. I'm going to give you my way too early roster prediction. Tommy Lee Lewis makes the 53. Ted Ginn Jr. gone, a la Champ Bailey.
Uh-oh.
So, having said that, at the end of the day,
is he digging
Ted
on us?
Ted Ginn Jr.
Yes.
Gets cut, does not make it out of training camp alive. Peace.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
Breaking news. Luke from Louisiana, at the end of the day, what's the other one? At the end of the day, and I say it too much, he's picking on me. He was teasing me.
He was teasing me.
Lewis makes the team. Ginn's gone pecan. What do you think?
No way.
I can't see
listen,
it.
Listen, again, you just have to look and listen to Sean Payton. He likes the established receiver that Ginn is. He thinks that that's going to open up other possibilities. He's willing to live with the drops here and there, at least for right now. I don't disagree with Tommy Lee Lewis, as I said earlier. I think that his performance in the game against Cleveland, I believe, opened the door. Because the guy I was looking for was Lampman, and he showed me nothing. Williams-Lambert showed me nothing.
He's gone. He's been cut. Injured, settlement, done.
Really?
Yep.
I missed that one?
The law firm of William Lambert and Williams.
Oh, I thought you were going to Dewey Chewin.
Those two, Dewey Cheatham and Howe, they're gone. All of them are gone.
Okay. So. Well, Lampman and Fuller is the other one.
He's still been injured.
No, they said he was back on the field.
He came back, but he's one of the guys that came back, but I don't think he played in the game,
he didn't play in the game.
Right.
And I think he's still redshirted on the practice.
Oh, got the old red shirt on.
Yeah, okay. But again, if you're not out there showing the coaches what you have, you're not going to make the team.
You can't make the club in the tub, baby.
That's right. So, therefore, I believe Tommy Lee Lewis has a real good shot, but it'll be with Ted being on the team as well.
Ted Ginn Jr., listen, he provides an element. You and I argued about this early in the season. He provides the speed element. You don't always have to throw the ball to the guy for him to scare the pants off the defense.
That's correct.
So the point is that he has a spot. And what people lose sight of, and this is a weakness for Tommy Lee Lewis, is he's not a big or strong guy.
Yeah.
So it makes it tough for him to get off the line of scrimmage at times. If he gets a good cornerback on him, they can nullify some of that speed by being physical with him. Now, I'm not saying it's always going to work. I think that Lewis has proven that he can find a niche on this team, not as a number two, because, listen, they were talking earlier because Ginn was on the depth chart as number two above Snead and Arabs. Well, listen, Snead and Ginn are two different players.
Yes.
So if you're just rolling out, which they don't normally do, but if they roll out two receivers, more than likely it's going to be Ginn on the other side of Thomas.
Yes.
So I wouldn't look too much into that. But Ginn's
a slot, whereas Ginn is not.
And so now one of the things that, again, back to our debate earlier, is I was a little worried, concerned about we were thin at speed. Tommy Lee Lewis has plenty of speed.
Yep.
Now it looks like he's figuring out how to play the game, which you can run as fast as you want. But if you're dropping balls and you can't really figure it out, you don't know where you're going, it makes no difference. So, Luke, I disagree. But at the end of the day, and what's the other one? At the end of the day and – I can't remember, but whatever, Luke. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Hey, while we at it, why don't we jump, get one more in?
Sure, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jermaine, man. I always listen to the show, really love the show, man. With that being said,
I had a quick question.
Looking at the snap count, Al-Qadim Muhammad looks like he actually had a lot of playing time. Did you see any flashes of, good play from him, or do you think...
All right, well, the call got cut off. This time it wasn't my fault, though. Anyway, thank you so much. First-time caller. He's been listening for a long time. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Okay. Pass the word on. More callers.
More listeners. More listeners, more callers, more all that stuff. Muhammad, 51 snaps, 37 pass rushes, six pressures, and a sack.
Yes.
The man has earned more playing time higher up on the depth chart, and that's the way I look at it. So you nailed it. The guy is getting pressure. Nice spin move. It wasn't just speed.
He had a couple of moves. Good hand positions.
Yeah, I was watching. Okay, I've talked about this before. I wrote my article on the draft class maybe 2 weeks ago. Now, by the way, Tomas.
Yeah, I know. I haven't
gotten
to it.
You owe me an article.
I know. I got it
over
coming up.
LandryFootball.com.
Yes, sir.
And I said that I feel like all these guys will make the team except for one. And when I say make the team, I meant he would probably go to the practice squad. He has a chance to make this squad. I mean, what I saw out there.
He's not going to practice squad.
Let's see if he can do it against first and second team guys, because he was doing it against the guys who are going to be working at McDonald's in a couple of weeks. Okay?
All right, so when we go over the rosters,
So we'll talk about it a little bit more. Again,
good question.
Thank you, Jermaine. We appreciate it. Man, don't be a stranger. You got that number. It's 701-901-1295.
Yes, sir.
Give us a call on the hotline. Listen, have a take. You know, tell us what you think, because we don't get a chance to ask you what you think after you ask us what we think. So, you know, we'll give you our opinions. Tell us what you think about what happened. So, all right. So, moving on, we have some players who came back from injury at practice today.
Yes.
We're going to talk about it right after the break.
All right.
Sugar-free, gluten-free,
like
fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, some guys who came back to practice, big, big name guys who are going to be, who we're expecting to be contributors this year.
Starters, yeah.
Ryan Ramczyk.
Definitely.
Maybe the most important.
Yes.
And
he's not wearing red jerseys.
So he's back.
He's back.
Okay. And Lattimore.
Yep.
So when I want to say Ramczyk, maybe the most important, and you know, until the bro news broke, I would say so. Now I think, you know, Lattimore coming back, you can argue which one's the more important guy to get back on the field and get him working in there. Hendrickson, back in action.
Yeah. Again, he heard the footsteps from the bro incident that we haven't talked about yet. We'll get to it.
Yeah, and we're going
to
be talking about the bro thing in a little bit here. And then the other one that was a huge surprise, Max Unger returns. Was he wearing a red jersey?
Not according to my list.
I mean, now he wasn't in team.
No, I think he was just on the field, and I think he was just going through individual workouts and that kind of thing. I don't think he's actually in the hard hitting.
Yeah, he didn't do contact drills. 11, but here's the thing. 7, 7. Now I think even Sean Payton said that he will play in the preseason.
Well, he said that he was asked about that just in today's interview, and he said it's just like I told you guys, third preseason game, he'll be back. So,
and that's encouraging, but we've heard things like that before, and it didn't work out
that
way.
True,
so
true.
Now, could this be the one time where, not the one time, okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but could this be one of the times, one of
I
the
would
few
hope so,
times?
Because I'm tired of seeing that floating ball going back there.
Oh, my God, yes, yes. Can we get over
it? And they even talked about now using another snap, another person they're looking at to snap the ball is Phillips, the tight end who has some background. And then they signed another guy who is gosh, now I can't remember his name, but he also has a background in snapping the ball. So they're looking for somebody to stop, you know, the onslaught of bad snaps back
there. Yeah, it's not good. The thing about it is we need Unger back. Now we do have, but Calamity, I think, you know, I don't know if it's in these guys' heads now, but Calamity, he didn't necessarily snap the ball with authority either. Float. You know, so while they were more accurate, they weren't over anybody's head. They were just coming back there kind of lazily.
Yeah, and there was no life to it.
Yeah, you need the ball to get back there quick so you can get it in your hands and start. When it just kind of floats
see,
back there.
That's another reason I hesitated to really say that that Garrett Grayson was the ugly. You know, because on a lot of those plays, he's standing back there and the ball's just floating back to him. Well, now, it's hard to read a defense if you're looking to try to catch the damn ball. You know, by the time you didn't look up, well, now where are you looking? You know, so. But I think that's a definite problem. So I'm happy as hell to see Unger back.
Well, man, exciting news, good news. A lot of times we hear these guys going to be back, and they just simply aren't back in time. And now it looks like one's working in our favor. So I tell you what, we have another. Matter of fact, we have two more hotline calls, 701-901-1295. Let's get to the one that's going to. Yeah, man, I got this down, man. Right, I got it down.
Right. Hi, this is Jermaine again. I'm sorry my phone got cut off. But like I said, love the show. My question is, with all the rumors going on about Delvin Bro being traded, it just boggles my mind that the Saints think they have it like that, where they can trade arguably their best cornerback, knowing how cornerback has been our Achilles heels for the last few years. Just wanted to hear a comment about that, and I'll let y'all take it on from here. Once again, I love the show, man. I've been listening to it forever. It's my first time calling in. Y'all keep up the good work, and I'll keep listening. Bye.
Jermaine, first of all, you can call as many times you want if you keep patting me on the back like that. We appreciate it. Listen, there are so many different angles. Now it's time to jump on the news that broke this week that the Saints are at least – listen, I don't want to say it wrong. The word is that they're – considering trading him. He's on the trading block. Delvin Bro. Okay. I agree with Jermaine. Like, first of all, the Saints are a little bit arrogant about the way they just handled these things willy-nilly, but there are so many different angles. Now reports start coming out. Tomas, you can fill us in on this because you think, but that last year, Bro could have come back. He chose not to, and that's what makes sense. When this news first broke, it didn't make sense to me. But then when you start adding in that last year, apparently, when he got past the broken leg, he could have come back. He was cleared and the shoulder. He was cleared to come back and chose not to, which irritated Coach Sean Payton.
Yeah, my understanding, that's where it first began. And I was talking to Dave when we weren't on the air, that the truth of the matter is that if you look at our secondary, we're playing a bunch of rookies. Because these guys, if you start thinking about how many actual complete games our defensive backfield has played, you're going to be shocked. Because the guys who've played the most, my boy Crawley and Devontae Harris.
Yeah, I was amazed whenever you – and we started going over it because I didn't believe it at first.
It was amazing to me when I started going over it. I was like, are you serious? And so, you know, Payton has an issue with injuries anyway. You know, it kind of bends him the wrong way. But here's some things. You have a when each part of our team goes to do its film studies, you have to have a leader in the room. And so when the DBs go in there to do their film study, who's going to be the leader? Who's the guy that people say, well, he's a shutdown corner, he's this, he's that? Well, that's been Delvin Bro. Now, if you're at the end of the season, we lost Vaccaro for the last four games. So suddenly we're like, man, we're really in a bad way. We need to have somebody back there. You're playing Keo at a corner. Man, you got a problem, okay? So they turn to Bro, and Bro's like, I don't think so. I'm going to go ahead and sit out the last two games, and I just don't feel right. Man, I'm quite certain that that bent Peyton up. So then, okay, we get past that. Now we come to this season, and now we have a similar situation in that, well, and it's like I say in the day, there's a difference between being injured and being hurt. Because as I've always heard, I have not ever played 16 games of football on professional level, but well, I've always heard this. By the middle of the season, they're all sitting in the tub with all right. kinds of aches and pains and
right.
bruises and everything else, and you're just sucking it up to get through the season because it's a team sport and you're trying to get to the playoffs and to the championship. Everybody is injured. Everybody's hurt. But there's a difference between injury and hurt. Injury actually means you can't play. You know, the doctors haven't cleared you. Whatever. Okay. But hurt, hell, everybody plays hurt. You know, and so I think that's what's happened right now. I think that Peyton and the coaching staff believe that Bro should be able to be in practices showing that he's a team guy and he can play hurt. And he's not doing that. And I think they had enough of it because it sort of spreads like wildfire because you have a bunch of young kids. In particular, the other part of the angle that I got was that Hendrickson, who I thought that, you know, he showed a lot of possibilities in the OTAs. And so he's been sitting out for a long time now. And so in one of the interviews, Peyton actually called him out and said, hey, no availability, no accountability. You know, you're no good to us. So I think that with this issue that came up with Bro, I think he also was sending a message to a lot of players on the team like, dude, if you're not really injured, you better, as my friend Dave says, spit on it, run a little dirt on it, buddy, and get back on that field. You know, because this is about your teammates as well as it's not just you. So I think that that's the bottom line. Now, again, Bro. And I teased Dave. I sent when Dave sent me the first text about Bro's on a trading table, I was like, for what? A bag of Cracklins and a six-pack of PBR? I mean, because who's going to give you anything for this guy? And I know, you know, Lil Dice was talking. He sent a couple of texts out about, you know, the situation. Look, the truth of the matter is buy high, sell low, whatever you put down there. The truth of the matter is what are you going to get for? Okay? You ship Sproles up. You got a fifth-round draft choice for Sproles. Sproles, a veteran, a guy who still had stuff in the tank. You know, now you look at Bro. Broken neck. You're going to have to sign a waiver off on that. Now he's been hurt. As 2015 hurt, 2016 hurt, set out for a lot of the time. Now he's starting to hurt again. Who's going to take him? You got to be really hard up to take this guy in a trade situation. Now, you just sit back and wait till they cut him and say, okay, well, if they cut him, well, maybe we'll look, you know, bring him in, kick the tires and see what we can do.
Right.
So then as I'm looking and studying all the film because, I'm studying linebackers, I went back and I sort of kind of glanced through the defensive backs as best I could. You know, the truth of the matter is Crawley, P.J. Williams, and Devontae Harris did a pretty good job. The only guy who wasn't playing back there with 10 cents was Swan, who I don't have making the team. And we didn't see Mallette because he's injured. Now we'll see if he's all of a sudden back on the team tomorrow. I mean, who knows? You know, for this game, I don't know. But now you had Lattimore coming back. Well, that's four guys right there that I can tell you, without any shadow of doubt, that's our two corners and a slot guy and a backup guy. So I have news for Bro. A lot of people, well, when he's on the team, when he's 100%, he's the best guy out there. Well, we said the same thing about Ellerby. Now, you know,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
And you can say that about a lot of guys. There are a lot of guys that when they're not hurt, man, they're great. But the problem is that they do not remain unhurt for 16 games or even 12 games. So if you only have a player for half the season, it doesn't do you any good because it's a team game. One of the things is as you work together as a unit, it's just like the example of the offensive line. When you work together as a unit, even if you're not as good, perhaps, as another guy, but you start every game, then the guy next to you knows what to expect. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He understands what you're going to do in a certain situation. But if you're a guy who doesn't practice and you just show up on game day or every third game, well, nobody knows what you're capable of or what you might do, how you might react. It's a team game. It's not an individual game. So I'm not surprised, really. But I think more than I would, let me put it this way. It wouldn't surprise me if they got something, the fifth rounder, that they would think about it. But I think it's more about sending a message than anything else. And especially because, you know, this year it's all screwed up about how to make the cuts, the final cuts.
Sure.
So, you know, we're going to have to wait to the end. When everybody starts making cuts, we're still going to be picking up players. So,
well, okay.
All right, I said my piece.
I agree with a lot of what you said. The thing that I want to say the other side of it is that, listen, Bro is a good player, and if this team wants to win, we need good players.
Yeah, I agree.
Having said that, the problem with all of this is that we just don't know how bad it is. Like, I'm going to sit here and say, listen, if the guy can play and he needs another week, that's fine. But we have no idea what's going on in the locker room. If Bro is sitting there and refusing, and after, and the doctors are like, man, he's fine, and he's trying to take two more weeks, or maybe the season last year when Bro could have come back at the end of the season,
I think
maybe his attitude was, hey, man, we're not going to the playoffs. Why would I come back? Now, that's an attitude a coach does not want to hear. So,
plus, it transfers over to the
younger absolutely, kids. And you have the young kids and stuff. Having said that, where Jermaine was pointing it out, and I see on Twitter, is like, we just cannot continue to cut good ball players when we don't really listen. I like Crowley. I think he's a good player. Of course, Lattimore is a high first-round draft pick with a lot of talent, and I really like PJ. Having said that, man, I mean, if we end up not having Bro again, like, I don't know if I need to see some more before I'm ready to say that, oh, I'm good, man. Let's just throw Crowley out there and we're good. We're just as good as we were with Bro. So it's still too early. I guess what I'm saying is too early. Let's see how this works out, because there's been a lot of speculation that this Bro thing is mostly motivation.
Well, that's why you're saying that.
And I think
send
that
a message.
I think you send a message.
Yeah.
And if he responds to it, then you're in a positive position. You say it worked. The problem is, if you send this message and he gets the message and don't like the message, then you have a guy on your team that, listen, the word is already out. If you thought you weren't going to get anything for a banged-up cornerback who has a previous neck injury, severe neck injury, now that the word's out that he wants out, now what you think you're going to get for him? Nothing. You're going to end up cutting the guy.
Well, that's where I think we are right now. I don't really see any value for Bro, because, okay.
Trade value.
If he's injured, I mean, if he's not injured, if he's 100%, okay, you can say, well, you know, he's like, I heard, was it Bobby Abear who said it? One of the guys said it, that, you know, he's probably one of the top three athletes on the team when he's not injured. Well, that's all well and good, but we could say the same thing about Ellerby, you know? And when he's not in the game, then what do we have left? You can't take up a roster position for a guy that's only going to play 30% of your game.
I get it. Okay. My argument is, I don't think he's at the Ellerby. Now, listen, he didn't miss a game yet, okay? He has not missed it. If he's not ready for game one, then I'll step back. I'll concede.
Remember what I told you. He has not played any entire season. 2015, he did not play the entire season. He was out for at least a couple of games. 2016, he played two games, and then that's it. Because then he hurt his leg. Then he came back, and he said he came back too early, hurt his shoulder, and that same, out he was again. So you're looking at a guy who maybe all total in 2 years has finished one season in total games.
Okay, I guess I don't care about a season. He played 14 games. If you get 14 games in 15, if I get 14 games from him in 17, I feel like we never got that from Ellerby. And this, I guess what I'm saying is I took exception to the Ellerby thing, and not from you. Other people have said that, and I took exception because, yeah, Ellerby's now the guy that everybody's going to be compared against for injuries. If you miss this or that and the other, oh, that's Ellerby. Ellerby was never available. Okay, now I'm even exaggerating that. Even he got in there for six games. I'm just simply saying.
Ellerby played an entire season with the Baltimore Ravens before he was traded to Miami.
I mean, that was a long time ago.
I'm just saying. I mean, you want comparisons, okay?
I'm simply saying I'm not ready to compare Bro.
No, I understand what you're saying.
To him yet.
I understand.
Now, if come game one, Bro's not ready, then I'm starts. Well, okay, you know, it's hard for me to defend him.
We're not game planning right now for any preseason game. But when you go to the first game against Minnesota on a Thursday night, I'm damn sure that they're going to be planning out the defense. And if you're going, well, if Bro plays, we play this. If Bro doesn't play, we play this. Can't go by that. It's too important a season. You know, we cannot go 7-9. We cannot have a losing season. Breeze, you know, Well, okay, he might want to play till he's 45. And actually, I tell you, I watched the Tom Brady interviews. He might actually be able to play to 45, Tom Brady. But, you know, I don't know about Drew Brees. But in any case, you're getting towards the end of the line here. And if you want to win championships, you got to do it now. You got to step up now. And if you can't contribute, I would say this, man. If you can't contribute 12 of the 16 games, there's no room for you on this team. There really isn't.
I agree. We got to move on from this.
All right.
But I agree with you that we need him to play. We need him to be tougher and play with some, not injuries, but if he's hurt.
Hurt.
Play yeah. hurt. You got to play hurt. Yeah. Step up. And but I just don't know that. Having said that, the other side of the argument is simply I don't know enough details, and we can't just run off our best players. So I don't have the answer. It's a conflict that I have. If he's in there being a malcontent and refusing to play, I agree with you. And we don't know that. But at this point, it's still frustrating because it seems like a constant situation of getting rid of our best players. You know, guys, you know, Cook. And I was not opposed to the trade. Matter of fact, in hindsight, I think the trade was great.
You picked up two great players.
Having said that, we still got rid of a good player and for a draft pick, and you don't know what's going to come out of it. So my point is that there's still stuff that needs to be heard. And I think hopefully, he'll get motivated by this, and we'll see a new player come out. So we'll see. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
Then we come back. We have one more, little Dice.
Speaking of the devil.
He okay. shot us a phone call.
All right.
We're going to finish that up. See what little Dice has to say. Y'all don't go anywhere.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
All right, we're back. The SEC Pub, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. We have another hotline call. And before we get to this hotline call, we do have two other hotline calls, but they were directed to Chris Landry. So we'll get to those calls on Thursday's show. But right now, let's see what Little Dice had to say.
Hey, this is Little Dice. So I'm calling to play BS and Beer. So for BS, probably going to be a little bit controversial, but I'm going to say BS on Tommy Lee. I'm just saying I got to see more. He had a nice game and everything. I just want to see more. Ryan Nassib, same thing. And honestly, I just don't think he's going to be a starter in the league overall. And my last one is Alex Jenkins. I mean, he was in later in the game. He made a play. But I want to see what he can do up against the first-team guys, the second-team guys. Now, for Beer, I'm going to say Anzalone. He's making plays in coverage.
That's your guy.
I like the way that looks. Muhammad, he's getting chances due to injury. He's making the best of them. And P.J. Williams, he had a solid outing. And he might end up being our number one corner because, I mean, he's available and the other guys are not.
All right, Little Dice, thank you. He brought up Muhammad. He brought up Anzalone. And we already talked about those guys. Both of them played well.
Yep.
Nassib, we already talked about him. Yeah, I'm like, I wouldn't even spend that much time. I mean, the guy's not going
to. The only thing I'd say about Muhammad is this, and are we gonna get to the roster changes that we have?
Yeah, we'll get it done.
All right.
We'll get it done.
I'll talk about it then.
We'll get it done. All right. I don't see Nassib making the team. I mean, he's not making the team.
Even though Peyton came out today and said that if somebody's worth it, he'll keep a third quarterback. Yes, right. Prove it. Well,
but I mean, we also
these
have
two guys didn't prove it.
We also have a lot of young guys at other positions that you got to find.
We can't afford. Exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's like we just talked about. We talked about all these draft picks. They're going to make the team, but they're still young. So then you want to have, and I know you disagree with me. For instance, cornerback. You just pointed out one of our most experienced guys, Ken Crowley. He's in second year. I think that you have to keep a guy like Sterling Moore on the team, and I know you may argue against it. I think you have to have – you can't look around that room and there's just a bunch of, you know, 22-year-olds. There has to be that guy that's the 28-year-old that understands. And it's so funny, man, talking about 28-year-old like he's, you know, like, oh, he's a seasoned,
like
grizzled veteran. Yeah. Right, yeah. But the point is, in football years, that's a grizzled veteran. All right, time to go over our weekly depth chart, see who's in, who's out. So you want to give it a first shot there?
Sure. I mean, I haven't changed anything for quarterback, still two. Running back, still four. Fullback, still one. My first change on offense is the wide receiver slot. I had Fuller originally on my list. I now have him out, Lewis in. And I have Fuller and Lampman, if they expand it to six instead of five, one of those two guys. Tight end stay the same. I don't see any changes there. Offensive line. Now here, in my original roster, I had Franklin, who's no longer on the team.
Right.
So he's gone bye-bye. We've been signing people here, there, so I don't really know. So I'm going to leave that open right now. I still believe that our starters are Streif, Warford, Unger, Pete, and Ramczyk. And I believe that the Larabius, because of his versatility, will make the team. Barnes. So it may leave an opening, believe it or not, for my other guy, Jack Allen, just because he can play center and guard. So it's always about versatility. All right. Special teams locked up already. From the original, obviously, Gafford, the long snapper, is gone. Our long snapper is going to be Drescher, who we've had for a long time. On defense... my defensive ends have not changed. I still have Jordan, Okafor, Kikahai, Hendrickson, and Tapp. Now, here's my change in the defensive tackle position. I still think that we're looking at the core of three, Rankins, Onyemata, Davidson. Now, Little Dice brought up Jenkins. Jenkins is on an exception. He can't play this year anyway. He's the guy from the European League that we have the extra person on the team with. So we're actually going to have 61 on the team. He'll be the eighth guy on our developmental squad who cannot be activated for the season.
Huh.
So Jenkins is getting playing time just to see where he is. But he won't be doing that. So McDaniel, gone, in my opinion. Mabry, gone, in my opinion. I think that 70, who was actually originally Zimmer, right? Yeah. He was actually Zimmer. So I think he might get a shot, Zimmer. Mabry and McDaniel, is he gone? And possibly, simply because we need depth at the position, one of the two veterans that they just signed might be impressive enough to maybe make the team. Either Jones, and I can't remember the other guy's name now, but we had two guys that we signed, defensive end, defensive tackle, both could play inside. So we'll see. Linebacker, I still have the same guys. Klein, going to be a starter. Robertson, Anzalone, Stupar, Anthony, and Big Hill. I still think Big Hill's going to make this team. He's just got a great motor and good on special teams. So that's one of those guys we talk about at the bottom end. It means that, you know, a couple of guys are on the bubble. I just don't see them. All right, then we go to DB. Now here's where I have a problem. Because I have Lattimore, P.J. Williams, Crawley, Harris, Millett, and Bro. Now, if the Bro thing is just an incentive kind of thing, get your behind in gear, then he's on the team. Millett may be on a team, maybe Sterling Moore. So that's my, you know, there. Safeties, Vaccaro, Bell, Williams, Bush. And here again, Eric Harris may not make it.
Right.
You know, he may be gone. So we'll see. You know, what comes up at that position. All right, so there you go. That's my...
Well, okay, so I think I may have caught you with... I guarantee you when I point this out, you're gonna slap your forehead.
All right, what did I do? I missed somebody?
Muhammad.
Oh, yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Yes. I meant to mention that, too, because I've got it on the list. In that, Tapp might be gone.
Right.
Because Muhammad will not clear waivers. There's no way that kid, based just on one game, I can tell you, anybody who studied that film on that game, you had the statistics. He played, and he played hard.
It was good. We still have three more games to go.
I agree. But
if he does it for the rest of the preseason, then absolutely. But, you know, some guys
don't
shine bright and burn out fast.
Well, like
you
say, you know, hey, you know, if we cut Garrett Grayson, you know, he'll still be there. Okay? If we cut Muhammad, he will not be there. Okay. Mark my word, somebody will pick that boy up.
Yeah, like I said, it's way too early.
Yes, it is. But he played hard. He played with enthusiasm.
He did. But like I said, let's see it. Like, one game does not make a roster.
I agree. And, of course, then you're cutting a guy who's got a lot of experience in Tapp.
Right.
You know, so, all right.
I don't think the market is going to be overly aggressive in trying to get Tapp. I think Tapp's a guy that you could probably cut and then get him back. Yeah.
Especially the way they're doing cuts this year. So.
Yeah, which makes it more difficult.
Yeah.
You have so many guys to weed through. I don't really care for the new way. I like seeing the first wave of cuts, and you can start getting you. Well, let's take a look at this
ten
guy
here. Another seven here. Yeah.
Another. You know, my situation here. I had Tommy Lee Lewis. Like, just so I do it a little differently than you. I only have the guys who I think even have a shot at the roster. So, and they're the ones that wouldn't make the team are in gray.
Right.
Tommy Lee Lewis went from gray to, I think you have to yep. make him white, and then Corey Fuller is now gray.
Be careful now.
You got to be careful. Okay, no offense there. Yeah. Let's see, where else? Muhammad is another guy that you have to, you know, he got added to, but he's still in gray, and I want to see him do it again.
Yeah.
But I have to put him ahead of Guachum, who was gray to begin with.
Yeah.
Guachum,
yeah.
I didn't see a whole bunch, you know.
Yeah. He did play, though. He played.
Yeah. He played. He got hurt, or at least tweaked a little bit, and he had to come out of the game. I think it was cramps.
But he got back in.
Oh, did he?
Came after
okay.
that. Yeah.
And then to the defensive backfield. Right now I have Devontae Harris in gray. I have five cornerbacks. But last week, Millett made the sheet. You know, he was in gray. But, man, I saw a lot of stuff that I like from that kid, so it's going to be interesting to see where it goes when he gets a little more playing time. He didn't even play in this game.
No, because he's injured.
So, anyway, so there you go. We kind of the bottom end of the roster. There's some movement there, see what's going to happen. Anyway, any final thoughts?
No, I thought that overall the game against Cleveland was a good game to get us started, to see where things are. Obviously, as I said, going over the roster, we're pretty much locked in at quarterback and running back. So now it's a question of looking at the other positions. And with the way they're making cuts, I'm not going to be surprised at all if there are a couple of really decent players who could serve as backups on our offensive line and defensive line that we'll snatch up, and then we'll let go some of the other people. So it's going to be an interesting final cut and what happens the cut week. But right now I'm very excited. I think I'm looking forward to the Chargers game now.
I thought the Saints played well. When you take into consideration that in certain areas they were playing with one hand behind their back.
Yeah.
You know, no breeze, no left tackle, or it might as well have been no left tackle, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think it's exciting. Let everybody know that we're going to have another bonus show on Thursday. Chris Landry, for those of you who called in to the hotline, 701-901-1295. You can still get those calls in because I'll talk to Chris on Wednesday. Make sure that he answers the hotline calls. So make sure you get those calls in if you want to talk to Chris. I want to thank the SEC Pub for sponsoring us. Don't forget about our big news next week. Anyway, for Heath Elson-San.
We wish he gets well soon.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yes.
And for Tomas Mauricio.
Which I hope he gets well soon, too.
I don't think there's any chance this is going to happen. But I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We will talk to you Thursday.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.